assist us now, O Lord, that what we say with our lips we may believe in our hearts and practice in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Some years ago, I heard one of my fellow pastors tell a story of an event that had happened in the church that he was serving at the time. There was in his church a young woman who had a handicapping condition. Her mother was her caregiver, but as her mother was growing older, she realized that she would not be able to continue to care for her beloved daughter. She began to make arrangements for her daughter to enter into a care center. The day came when the transfer would take place. Although the doctor and his associate were very kind and very gentle, the young lady resisted. She resisted their attempts to get her into the car. She struggled, she cried for her mother. Her mother was crying for her. Even after they had gotten her into the car, she tried to get out. She struggled. She cried, reached her arms out to her mother. At that point, her mother said, with her heart breaking, "You take her out of there because there ain't nobody that can love her the way I can." I know that grammar is not especially proper, but the love certainly is. Love is a wonderful gift. It can raise us to the heights of joy, but can also sink us into the deepest despair, and then raise us up again, all in the same moment. I believe that love is God's greatest attribute and is the greatest gift that God has given to us. It can give us the greatest satisfaction as human beings, as well as provide us with the most painful of circumstances we can ever experience. Yet when we love, we are recipients of a part of God, because as our text has pointed out to us, God is love. Further, we believe, certainly as Christians, that God has manifested his love to us through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. We all know that wonderful verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." I'm going to be honest with you at this point and say I sometimes wonder why God does love us. Yes, we are his creation, but we are a mischievous creation from time to time. Why does he love his creation and his created beings, namely you and me, so much that he would send Jesus for us to set the standard for us, to challenge us not to sin, and yet forgive us when we do sin? God never gives up on us, no matter what we do or fail to do. And the best answer that I can give as to why God never gives up on us is because God is not just a sharer of love. God is love. He's loving, but more importantly, he is love, and all love issues forth from him. The Old and New Testaments both affirm the concept that God's love is never ending. God's love is for everyone, every one of us here. God's love is for you. God is love, and God is generous in that love. A very prominent scholar of the Hebrew Bible, Rabbi Abraham Heschel, was asked one time what he thought God's feelings were as the Hebrew people safely crossed the Red Sea during the Exodus, and yet the Egyptian armies were drowned as the water closed over them. Rabbi Heschel's response, a somewhat surprising response, was this: When the waters closed over the Egyptians, God cried because God loved the Egyptians because they were his children too. God cried because God loved. Now we have to ask the question, God loves us, but do we really understand his great love? We love God because God first loved us. Now, I believe that every person within this congregation today should and could be able to think of some point in time where you know that God blessed you, that God loved you. Just pause for a moment. You know of some time when God loved you. You can think of some time when God has come into your life experience and made a change in your life. Might not be a religious event as we think of it, but God has made some change because of God's love for you. How has God loved your family, your friends, your church, this church? Think of the ways in which that has happened. Further, as we come to the communion period in our service, I want you to ask yourselves these questions. Can I point out to a time when God has come into my life, and the life of my family, my friends, my church? And as you realize these times when God's love has been made real to you, at that point in time, as we're receiving the sacrament of Holy Communion, I hope that each of us here will give thanks to God, to that God who is love. There's a second portion to the scripture lesson that we've read this morning. It's a powerful lesson out of the First Epistle of John. God calls us to follow the words of 1 John chapter 4, verse 21. The commandment that we have from God is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters. We can't separate ourselves and say we love God if we don't love one another. God asks us to reciprocate his love by loving others. What we have received, we must share. Remember how we speak of God's attributes, particularly this first one. The attributes are gifts from God. And we show our thanks by living and loving as he loved us. Verse 21 was preceded by verse 20 in this particular section. Those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Now, every preacher is tempted to change some things around as they'd like it to be, and I'm no exception. If I were writing this letter, I frankly think I would have reversed the two verses of Scripture. Because loving our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters, our family, our friends, is often harder than loving God. I'd like to repeat that. Loving our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters, our family, our friends, is often harder than loving God. I believe it's often easier for us to make a prayer of confession, to recite a prayer of confession during the time of worship, or make a confession when we're saying our personal prayers. I think it's often harder for us to make, or I'm sorry, easier for us to make a prayer of confession to God than it is to go to another human being and say, I'm sorry. And yet that's what love requires of us. It's often easier to speak to God. We've put God on remote standard, folks, haven't we? God is above us and beyond us. God is eternal. God is everlasting. But the person whom we have offended, the person whom we've failed to love, That person's right near us. They may be sitting next to us. Or maybe we left them at home or are going to go back to them. It's a lot easier many times. Not as sincere, but a lot easier to say to God, I'm sorry, than it is to go to the person whom we have offended. There are times in life when somebody we care about, when somebody we love, will let us down. Will we still love them after they've let us down? They'll expect us to. On the other hand, there are times when we let other people down and expect them to love us. Will they love us? They'll expect us to still love them, and we'll expect them to still love us, just as they'll expect that we always love them. Gets a little twisted up in there, but you get the point. Neither situation always works. We do not do for others what they expect us to do, and they do not do for us what we expect them to do. Neither circumstance, when we fail to love or they fail to love, neither circumstance is what the Scripture says God expects to be the standard action for us. Do for others what God does for us. Love. 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 I've already said that it's easier to ask God to forgive us our failures to love Him as we ought than to ask another person for their forgiving love. This represents our failure to live up to God's expectations in either case. I honestly have to say to you that an essential problem in loving others is the fact that too often the people who most need our love are also the people who are least lovable. Those who most need our love are often those who are least lovable. Before I go any further, I want to say to you that I'm not always lovable. I'd like to always be lovable, but I'm not always lovable. Sometimes I'm a grouch. Sometimes, I think I could get an amen or two on that. Maybe I'm irritable. Maybe I'm frustrated. Maybe I'm stubborn. Or at least I think I have cause for these characteristics. And yet, despite all of those circumstances with which I'm going, the real problem perhaps is that I need love. You need love. We all need love, especially when we're at our worst. When they're irritable, grumpy, somebody cut us off on the road coming in, somebody didn't smile at us, didn't thank us, whatever. That does not exempt us from loving that other person as we expect them to love us. Because God is love, and we cannot say that we love God if we do not love one another. Hard though it may be, this is what God expects us to be at our best for others when I'm at my worst or when others are at their worst. If Jesus, who is that great example of love, was willing and able to forgive those who were crucifying him on the cross, should we not follow his example and continue to love? Or at least try. Those whom we call saints, in Protestantism we don't have official saints, but there are saints of the faith, people who live out the gospel message. Those whom we respect as saints are noted for their willingness to share their love for God by loving their fellow human beings. Jesus said in John, the Gospel of John, John 15, verse 12, greater love has no person than this, that they give their lives for one another. Now, theologians have traditionally said to us this idea of giving lives means that we are willing to die for one another or for whomever the persons may be who have a particular need. Preachers, on the other hand, like to disagree from time to time with theologians or suggest how they might have gone a little further. And I'm going to do that just now. I respectfully want to extend the understanding of this text and suggest to you that to say that greater love has no man than this, that he give his life for another or her life for another, doesn't mean that we're necessarily called upon to die for one another, although Jesus did. We're called upon to live for each other. And that's giving ourselves to meet the needs of others, to share their burdens, to show them the way to salvation through Jesus Christ, to exemplify the love of God by precept and example. Jesus died that we might live and that we might love. And he set the ultimate example for that giving and that living and that loving. I think we all know the name of Mother Teresa, one of the giants of the 20th and early 21st century. She's celebrated because she did give her love, her life for others, not by dying for them, but by living amongst the poorest of the poor and serving them, by showing God's love for them, by showing them that poor, sick, dying, God had not forgotten them. This is love lived out. Louis Zamperini, and you may not be familiar with him, he's not exactly a watchword, he was another modern-day Christian who took seriously the concept of today's scripture lesson, that one cannot really love God if we do not also love our brothers and sisters. Zamperini wrote a marvelous book called Unbroken. I commend it to you if you want to get an exciting book out of the library. In the 1930s, he was a champion runner. He had won many, many medals, many prizes. He was looking forward to the next Olympic Games, where in all likelihood, he was running so well in the United States and in other races, in all likelihood, he would have won a gold medal. But that next set of Olympic Games did not happen. World War II came upon the scene, and the Games were canceled. He enlisted in the United States Air Force. It was then the Army Air Force. He enlisted in the Air Force, sent to the Pacific Theater of Operations, was shot down and captured. He spent the remainder of the war in a prison camp. He was brutalized by one of the guards, so much so that Zamperini would never walk normally again, let alone run. There would be no Olympic race for Zamperini. Zamperini hated the guard. He hated the guard. He vowed that if he had the chance, he would kill the guard. He would wreak all sorts of vengeance upon him. But before Zamperini found the guard after the war was over, he found someone else. He found Christ. He found Christ in New York City at the Billy Graham Crusade. And he gave his life to a ministry. Oh, he was still searching for his enemy. But now it was not to take vengeance. It was say to the man who had brutalized him, the man who deprived him to a great extent of the future, upon which he had been embarked, to say to that man, not I'm going to kill you, not that I hate you, that I do not forgive you, but to say to that man, I do forgive you. Unfortunately, the guard had already died, and Zamperini was never able to do what he planned to do. But he was able to tell that story. He was able to know and say, not proudly, but humbly, he was able to say that he was fulfilling the text that you and I have worked with today. Those who say they love God must also love their brothers and sisters. God is love, and when we love one another, a part of God dwells in us. I asked you earlier in the sermon that as you receive communion this morning, you remember some circumstance, some time, some event in which you truly felt God's love in your life. I ask you now, during the communion time, during the communion service, to ask yourselves, is there anyone whom you know who deserves your love? In the name of our God, who is love. And then let us ask ourselves, and what are we going to do about that? If we know someone who deserves our love and God's love, let us go forth from this table with resolve to live in the light of love, to love one another, as God, through Jesus Christ, has loved us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we give you thanks for this coming together on this Sabbath day. We give you thanks for the new birth of spring and all of its beauty. We give you thanks for the possibility of rebirth of your great gift of love in us. Help us, O Lord, to humble ourselves before you, to acknowledge that we are not worthy, yet we are in need of your love and the love of our brothers and sisters. Help us to acknowledge before you, humbly and sincerely, that we must love one another. Gracious God, help to spring forth in each of us the same rebirth of nature that we see all around us. Help us to never take for granted what you have done for us, what Jesus did for us. Help us never to take for granted the long line of Christians who've gone before us and have loved one another and lived out this gospel message. We pray, O God, that we may show our love to those who are ill, to members of this congregation who cannot be here this morning because they are incapacitated in some way. Help us to show them our love. To those who are here and who are perhaps dealing with health issues or financial issues or family issues, help us to show your love by loving them. For this world, so much fraught with difficulty and disasters, to those who have been displaced from their homes and have suffered the loss of loved ones by death, help us to show our love by loving them. For this world, which needs peace so desperately, but never seems to be able to love enough to find it, help us to do our part by being an agent of love every day with all whom we meet. They may see humbly Jesus in us and the love we share. Hear us then, O God, as we offer this our prayer, and bless us as we've been here, as we continue to be here, and as we go forth in your love. Amen.